In this episode of Middle East Files, a look at the rise of the Turkish Justice and Development Party, how the zero problems policy turned to a dilemma after the Syrian crisis. Will Prime Minister Erdogan end up a winner or a loser? Turkey, a policy of miscalculations. In this episode of Middle East Files.
Hello, welcome to this episode of Middle East Files, coming to you from the Turkish city of Istanbul. I'm Lamiz Karu. The Justice and Development Party, also known as AKP, came into power after a period of economic crisis. The party continued to gain momentum up until the onset of the Syrian conflict, when the doctrine of zero problems with neighbors turned into a miscalculated policy. The AK Party, or Justice and Development Party, has been at the forefront of Turkey's political scene since the turn of the century. Its rise to power was not a smooth one. The Turkish judiciary filled two cases for the closure of the rising political party, one in 2002 and the other in 2008. But despite these hurdles, the party under the leadership of Turkish Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan continued to gain popularity and influenced one election after another up until the onset of the Arab uprisings, or as some others put it, the Islamic awakening. The AK Party's growth internally matched with the rise of Turkish influence externally, most notably in the region's hot affairs. Turkey's political and economical influence in the troubled Middle East grew significantly in the first decade of the 21st century. Some attribute this growth to Turkey stopping its Western quest and its attempt to join the European Union. Instead, it focused on its neighbors in shifting maps of a region under attack by the United States. The key architects of the Turkish foreign policy is Ahmet Davutoğlu. Davutoğlu was appointed as foreign minister in the Erdogan cabinet on May 1, 2009. His involvement in the crafting of Turkey's foreign policy goes back to 2003, when he joined Erdogan's team as a foreign policy advisor. Davutoğlu's regional politics initiative was coined Zero Problems with Neighbors, as Turkey sought over a decade to build diplomatic and economic ties with all players in a region rife with conflict. In the spring of 2011, the Arab uprising rocked the region and brought an end to Davutoğlu's zero problems. Discussing our first file even further is Mr. Alfer Bridal, and he's the editor-in-chief of the Turkish Seoul newspaper. After more than a decade of Turkish Foreign Minister Ahmet Davutoğlu's zero problems policy, how can we describe the relationship with Turkey and neighboring countries?
I think we can describe it as all problems policy right now, because the biggest problem is, of course, with Syria, but not only with Syria, with Iraq as well. And we have tensions with Iran, we have tensions with Russia, and we have tensions with Cyprus. So we have also increasing tensions with the United States now and with the European Union. We can say that it's completely failed, but I believe there's a continuity here, because the zero problems policy didn't aim to have zero problems with the neighbors. Actually, the aim was to develop a hegemony in the region based on the hegemony of the United States in accommodation with the United States. This objective also perceives that there will be some kind of tension, even war, at the end of it. So they knew it from the start. And now we are in the phase of a complete failure because they couldn't achieve the objective and they have tension.
What do you mean by a war at the end of this?
Well, since it's a game of changing all the balances in the region, in a region like Middle East, it has the risk of getting engaged in a war. And in fact,
you mean a war on Turkish soil, though?
Yeah, of course. And in fact, Turkey is in per se is in a war with Syria now, and we have bombs exploding all over Turkey. We have people getting caught in different towns of Turkey, and we have almost over a million refugees living in Turkey from Syria. So this is a situation of war. It's not maybe not an all-out war. The Turkish army is providing coverage with artillery fire, with tanks, with logistic support to these militants. And from the latest spillover, the leaked tapes from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, we know that those people are organically organized and sent to Syria by the Turkish government, never challenged the policies of the United States. For example, you never see Turkey challenging the war in Libya or challenging the war in Iraq. They supported it. And they supported the intervention in Syria as well. But they also want their own special role because they want to rule this region as their hinterland. And this failed because there are very many different forces in this region. We have Russia, we have Iran, we have a strong and legitimate government in Syria. And these are real forces in this region. It's not that easy to change all the balances. Even the United States can't do that in Iraq for more than 10 years now.
Mr. Alfer, how can we describe Turkey's relationship with Iran? Now, of course, they have disagreed when it came down to the Syrian issue, but really, it's not really clear how Turkey and Iran's relationship is going as of now. Give us your comments here, please.
I think we can say there's a complete hypocrisy in Turkey's policies towards Iran. On the surface, we don't see a clear tension apart from the issue of Syria, which is a huge, actually, because Turkey set out itself for a role in the Middle East to be the central power of a Sunni axis, which is against the political influence of Iran in the region, in the complete region. Actually, this was one of the major objectives of this policy, to pull Iran out of the region. And Iran, of course, is aware of that. But on the other hand, they were trying to keep an image, keep a surface image in the region that Turkey, the AKP, is an independent actor. So it can relate with any force, with Russia, with Iran, with Iraq, with the Kurds, etc. Which is contradictory in its essence, because your ambition is to pull Iran out of the region, and you are trying to create good relations with the same country. We see how this hypocrisy works with the corruption case in Turkey as it erupted in the 17th of December. We see that they helped Iran to get the oil money, to get around the US and EU sanctions. via Turkey, via the AKP especially. And we also seen that this party is, how corrupt this party is, because they benefited from it, from this difficult situation in which Iran is, in billions of dollars. So we see a complete hypocrisy, I believe.
Turkey was once boastful over its foreign policy based on good relations with neighboring countries. But once the Syrian crisis began, a different scenario emerged. Under Erdogan, Turkey was directly involved in the Syrian crisis, as his support for the Muslim Brotherhood put Turkey at an aggressive stance against Syrian President Bashar al-Assad's government. Let's take a look at the role Turkey is playing when it comes down to the Syrian crisis. After a fraught relationship between Turkey and neighboring Syria throughout the 1990s, Zero Problems brought a thaw to the tensions and opened up the borders between the two countries. A 2007 free trade agreement increased bilateral trade from $796 million United States dollars in 2006 to $2.5 billion United States dollars in 2010. In 2009, visa requirements were abolished, allowing for citizens to cross the borders freely. This flourishing relationship came to an abrupt end when Ankara sided with the opposition at the onset of the proxy war on Syria by some of the Persian Gulf Arab states. 106,000 trucks carrying Turkish goods crossed into Syria in 2010. That number dropped to 13,000 in 2012. Turkey became home to many leaders of the so-called Free Syrian Army and the main supply route of foreign militants taking on the Syrian government. Recep Tayyip Erdogan iterated in more than one occasion that Bashar al-Assad's days were numbered and hence established the Syrian National Council in Istanbul.